This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at It's Will Time and at BarnettJake. On today's show, Ryback's proposal for WWE pay, the pros, the cons. Also, Jake's on a cell phone, so the audio quality is subpar. So, Jake, something interesting happened in wrestling this week, and it's that a pro wrestler took to Tumblr to complain about things, which I actually thought only teenage girls took to Tumblr to complain.
Yeah, you know, normally Ryback is a guy who just tweets a bunch of stuff in a flood and then deletes it right afterwards.
And his Twitter's like brilliant.
Yeah, and generally he has made some poignant arguments on his Twitter, but this one went to Tumblr and it actually stayed up for longer than a few minutes. So I'm kind of excited to chat about it, actually.
Yeah, no, I think it's a really fascinating topic because I would say something we talk about a lot is the way wrestlers are paid and how fair it is and how unfair it is. And we hear from Jim Ross a lot, like the people in the wrestling business who know the pay formula that Vince McMahon uses are few and far between, including wrestlers don't really know it. Wrestlers are surprised by checks far too often. But the people who know it are basically Vince McMahon and whoever is in charge of talent relations. Right now, that would be Paul Levesque. And wrestlers are just told, this is your downside. Oh, hey, look, we think you drew a little more on this house show, so here's a little more money. And it's weird. It's actually pretty awkward. It's a really strange formula to use for a professional industry like wrestling is, and for a major multinational corporation like WWE is, the way they pay talent is actually kind of unfair.
Yeah, I think they could definitely use a bit more transparency in how they determine what wrestlers are paid. And I'm not sure if this is just, you know, one of those, you know, classical examples of Vince wanting to maintain absolute control over something. And so he and only his chosen cadre of people actually understand how this mystic formula works. But it's really bizarre when you look at the greater entertainment industry and see how, you know, pay is structured and the arguments that are happening around, for instance, you know, actors and actresses being paid similar amounts and things like that, you know, in the greater world out there. And it seems like, you know, the trend is towards greater transparency and people being, you know, able to negotiate for themselves and approach the subject as something that, you know, is just sort of out there in the open and that people are able to easily understand. And so I'm hoping, you know, in the long run, wrestling will trend in the same direction, because it seems like the arcane way that wrestlers are paid is rubbing people the wrong way. Even guys like Ryback, who I think a lot of people would have assumed, you know, was fairly successful in terms of, you know, his status in the WWE. Obviously, it's sort of waned and waxed as time has gone on. But there was one time, you know, at one point where he was, you know, looked like he was on the verge of exploding into the mainstream.
Yeah, Ryback back in 2012 was a major, major star. I would argue should have won the WWE Championship from CM Punk. Rock match be damned for the Rumble that year. I think Hell in a Cell was the time to pull the trigger on Ryback, and fans wanted it, people wanted it. I still look back at the CM Punk versus Vince McMahon main event that is one of my favorite matches of the last 5 or 6 years on Raw, and Ryback's pop at the end of it, the John Cena pop, everything about that match I thought was pretty perfect and a perfect encapsulation of just that moment in time. But you mentioned profit sharing and things like that. Something interesting in a industry a lot like pro wrestling, Broadway theater happened recently. The show Hamilton, which if you have read my Twitter at all, you know I obsess about constantly, and it's brilliant, by the way. Everyone should listen to Hamilton. But the show Hamilton, it's making an insane amount of money. Scalpers are making huge money off of tickets. The show is sold out through January 17 and 2017, and that's just because that's as far ahead as they've put tickets on sale for. It's an insanely successful show. They've already released a book that should be arriving at my house today, with the annotated script and photos and things like that. The cast album is a major hit. Hamilton is raking in the money. Well, normally, the model producers would go with is, thanks for everyone for doing the work on this show. We'll just take all this money and run. We're the producers. Yay! But what's actually happening is the original cast is getting a share of the profits from the show because they used their ability to collectively bargain. They used the fact that, hey, we helped create this. You're profiting off of us. We want this. You know, we want at least a little share of this. And it worked, and they're getting it. So I'm really, really happy to see that in Broadway, and it makes me wonder what would happen if wrestling did something similar. But we're actually here beyond talking about Hamilton, which I could do all day. I do most days, actually. Beyond talking about Hamilton, we're here to talk about Ryback's pay proposal. Because while, Jake, I can say Ryback makes a good point about it being unfair how wrestlers are paid. I don't think Ryback's proposal is necessarily a good one. What do you think of it?
You know, I think he touched on a lot of good points in his sort of diatribe on Tumblr. I think he, you know, the talking about being creatively stifled and talking about how you know, people are paid in wrestling is a subject that I wish people would broach a little bit more openly. But to be honest, I think the equal pay for winners and losers sort of, it doesn't really jive with how I understand how wrestlers are paid to begin with. So I'm not sure if, you know, if there's some confusion on my end or confusion on his end, but I'm fairly certain that, you know, the ability to sell merch and the ability to pack buildings has a bit more to do with how you are paid than who's winning and who's losing in matches. And his proposal for equal pay, you know, for everybody, to me, sounds like he doesn't quite understand, you know, how, you know, each wrestler brings a different amount of value to the promotion, and people who have greater value are likely going to be paid more than people who don't. And yeah, I don't necessarily think this has much to do with collective bargaining. At least his proposal never brought it up, but that's certainly something that that could improve the lot of wrestlers. I just don't think that would result in Ryback getting what he wants in terms of equal pay either. I'm not aware of any collective bargaining where, you know, everybody is paid the same regardless of talent, just especially in the entertainment industry. It doesn't seem to be at all. So I think that you know, there's plenty to talk about as sort of a launching point for what Ryback had to say, I don't think his proposal holds much water.
Yeah, I believe what Ryback does is bring up a lot of really, really important problems in how wrestlers are paid, but his solution is crazy. Like, his solution wouldn't work and would probably end up taking more money away from wrestlers than it would end up giving to them, which kind of bums me out because I see something like Ryback speaking out about wrestler pay and I think, sweet, we're on the road to the Pro Wrestling Union. And then I read his proposal and I go, oh God, this is terrible. And most people that look at it are going to realize that it's a bad idea. We are back off that road. My hype train started rolling too soon. I got to put it back in the station and refuel because this is not what I had in mind. What Ryback proposes is basically every winners and losers make the same thing, that everyone on the card makes the same. I think he was even proposing that merch money, because winners are going to sell more merch, that merch money be divided among, you know, merch money kind of be divided among people. All of it was kind of nuts to me, because while I can get behind Ryback wanting to be paid a little more equitably, I think the bigger issue is WWE paying wrestlers a really small percentage of their overall income, especially when you compare it not just to the entertainment industry, but to the sports industry, which WWE is also a little bit modeled after. When you compare what the NFL brings in and what teams are forced to pay players based on what they make, or, you know, based on what the team brings in, when you look at that and look at, say, Ryback being, and WWE actually paying him a fair percentage of the profit he may bring, that's big. That could actually be a really big thing. But I look at all of that and I get a little I get concerned with Ryback's proposal and with people taking it the wrong way and thinking all of this is impossible, because Ryback's proposal is not a good one. Same thing, you mentioned entertainment. Hey, Tom Hanks in movies makes a lot more than generic background actor number three with two lines, because he's Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks is, is an amazing movie star who's done it all and seen it all. He's like the John Cena of movies. So why then would John Cena need to get paid the same as generic background actor number three? Or, you know, why would John Cena need to make the same as Bo Dallas just to prove a point? Like, that doesn't make sense in any industry, because your value, what you bring, is actually what you should, part of what you should get paid.
Yeah, exactly. You have to have, you know, a system of value based on some objective measure. And I think it's fairly clear, you know, to anyone who watches wrestling that Fandango has a different value to WWE than John Cena or upper card wrestler here in that discussion. So they're going to be paid differently. It's just, you know, if you were to approach it as if they were to form some kind of union, or, you know, even if they were to take an alternative approach, but, you know, like sometimes in the early 20th century, sharecroppers would form what was called a mutual aid society, where they would all pitch in and sort of, try to figure out exactly how much each other would be paid and set up benefits with voluntary contributions and try to take care of people that pop themselves out of work and things like that. You know, there are alternative measures that can be taken that don't even require any intervention from WWE, where, you know, wrestlers could support and try to help each other out when they're in rough situations. And the NFLPA has a very...
That's actually Indiegogo.
Right. They have a very strong support program for retirees and people who have fallen upon hard times getting support for addiction and things like that. So, there is some precedent for some of these things to happen. And I think there's an ability among, wrestlers to get a better deal than what they currently do. It's just, I think there's a lot of skepticism when it comes to the politics of forming a union, because not only now would you have to deal with the politics of arguing, you know, for your stance on the card in WWE and defending your place in it, you also have to deal with the politics of an added layer when it comes to union leadership and who is bargaining for what and what the priorities in that bargaining is. And it becomes a very complicated mess of stuff. And so I don't know that there's an absolute perfect answer to getting wrestlers, you know, a better, pay situation or a better benefit situation, but I wish more people would discuss it openly and we'd hear more solutions, because, you know, you're going to hear people coming down pretty hard on Ryback because, quite frankly, I think his solution is pretty much completely untenable and doesn't, you know, recognize a lot of economic factors that are very important to other people. So, that solution is a non-starter, but there's probably something else. There's probably a better idea out there that somebody else has that may work that we're not going to hear, because every time somebody comes up with one of these harebrained ideas, it just gets immediately torpedoed to pieces.
How do you think proposing this is going to affect Ryback politically? I mean, we see him, he said he was pulled off the road now. He's basically out of WWE he's saying he's going to sit out, wait out his contract, and then see what happens. Do you think WWE goes back to him and says, okay, we'll pay you more? I mean, do you think Ryback is his, like, freedom fighter weight belt on, or do you think Ryback is looking out for the big guy and basically only the big guy and is planning to, when WWE says, okay, we'll pay you more, come back?
It's a good question. I mean, I think his article or post, you know, would lead you to believe that he seems to have, you know, his own set of ideas about what's best for the industry at large. But there was also, you know, a little bit of talking out of both sides of his mouth where he spoke about it not being about money, and that had already been negotiated. And then later on, you know, in his post, he talked about not being able to accept that, you know, the harder he works doesn't necessarily translate directly into, you know, improvements in his own life. in terms of where he is on the card and how much he's getting paid, things like that. So, I what would be best for Ryback? I'm not entirely sure. Maybe WWE will come back with some kind of offer that suits him, and he'll change his mind, or somebody will sit down with him and sort of outline, where he might be misguided, and there might be veterans on the roster who would make contact with him and have that discussion. I'm not sure, but it may be that he's got his mind made up and he wants to be independent. It sounds like he's been a trademark dispute with WWE over the big guy name, and he wants to preserve that for his post WWE career, whatever that entails. And maybe he's a guy that would find success, doing self-promotion on the indie scene, like a Colt Cabana or something like that, or maybe just go to Japan and see what happens over there. I mean, there's plenty of opportunity in pro wrestling for a guy who, is legitimately, talented and has a gimmick and has the ability to, to have decent matches when given an opportunity. So I don't see why Ryback would struggle even if he chooses to sort of blaze his own trail.
Yeah, I think Ryback could actually have a really good career in Japan. I'm confident that he'd have a lot of fun, and that he'd have really good matches. I mean, Ryback versus Ishii, that would be phenomenal. I could pitch all sorts of Japanese Ryback matches, and I could imagine a Japanese crowd saying, "Feed me more." With that, I think we'll wrap this show up. I think this was a good discussion of the pros and cons of what he was saying. And if I may pat ourselves on the back, Jake, I think we solved all the problems in wrestling today.
Perfect. Yep. Yeah. I'm on board.
We did it. Mission accomplished. Thank you for listening to this ProWrestling.net podcast. For more, make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, hit us up with a rating, and tell your friends. Also, please check out the goodness of ProWrestling.net membership. Bye!